Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hurry, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
And then the owner tells you, look, there's a new way that you're going to have to consume Cubs baseball on television. We want you to get on the phone with your provider and tell them that you need Marquee. And you're like, well, wait a minute. I definitely want to watch the Cubs game and I want to watch Marquee, but I got to do a telethon now? Then the Cubs are like, you know how we were renovating Wrigley? Yeah, we went over budget by $500 million. Is that going to affect what you can spend on the players? No, no. Those are separate piles of money. Then it's, remember Chris Bryant, how much you loved him? You won a World Series? We might have to trade him. Well, why? Well, because this luxury tax thing, we can't really afford to pay him. Well, wait a minute. When I said a second ago that there's $500 million, you said it was a different pile. No. That money is not this money. So I get it. I get what you're saying. You don't want to pay him $30 million. Well, what about free agency? Well, what are you going to do there? Oh, we're not going to really get any free agents. Well, why not? Well, we don't have the money. Well, wait a minute. I was just asking you about the $500 million, and you said there's a different pile of money, and then you're probably going to trade Chris Bryant because he costs too much money. So you're not going to do anything in the offseason other than maybe trade Chris Bryant? Yeah, that's what we were thinking. Sign me up. That's what's happened to you over the last 12 months as a Cub fan.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
I figure since everyone has a one-man or one-woman show, there was my one-man show of having a Cub fan talk to the Cubs and the Cubs talk back. I think I nailed it, to be quite honest with you. I'm Lawrence here with you until 2 o'clock. We have a lot of fun stuff to do on the show today, including having a conversation with Olin Kreutz. I'm going to let you get a sneak preview of the podcast I did with Kyle Long. I can't give you the whole thing because I want you to listen to it on the Under Center podcast, but I'm going to give you a little bit, give you a little taste so that you can go and listen to the whole damn thing. We're going to have a lot of fun on the show today, but we start the show as we start all things with the rundown.
Run them down.
The Rundown.
Here's your rundown for Thursday, February 6, 2020. There were two games of original six teams last night. Blackhawks on a back-to-back, same as the Bruins. We're taking on the Bruins. And this happened with 1 minute left in the third period.
Got ahead by Crew, got by one, finessed it on through while falling. Still up for grabs.
Third's got to go.
He shoved down Mata, and here's a shot. And it is waved off. A conference in the referee's circle.
Well, there is going to be a penalty on Torey Krug right here on Olli Mata. That's the penalty.
The play of the whistle had gone. Minor penalty to Boston.
So the officials have said that there is a hand pass by Olli Mata. It looked like it maybe grazed his stick. I bring in NHL rules expert Jay Zawoski. What the hell was going on with the officials last night?
Well, this, aside from that play, they were bad the entire game. There were several major potential penalties that they just ignored.
Connor, they missed a cross-check?
A cross-check as time expired on Kirby Dach in front. Connor Murphy got boarded. Adam Boqvist got boarded and injured because of the board. They were off the entire game. The Alex Nylander penalty that he was called for was totally ticky-tack and ridiculous. And then Ryan Carpenter gets some misconduct for being mad that they didn't get a high sticking penalty on him. It was just a terrible performance from the referees all day. Then Jonathan Toews says after the game, yeah, the referees admitted they made a mistake. Then the league today says, nope, nope, they got it right. It was a hand pass, and it was right to be blown dead. So it was a disaster. No, the Hawks probably didn't deserve to win that game. They came out for the first 30, 35 minutes and played timid and scared.
A little sluggish like the Minnesota game, too.
Yeah, they're afraid of losing points because every point is critical right now. And they had gotten that second point. They had the best team in the league beaten despite not playing well, and it was taken away from them on a totally ticky-tack bad call.
All right, stay right there. So then we go into overtime because the game's 1-1 instead of the Blackhawks winning 2-1, and then this happened.
Great team able to bring it back in. He's got DeBrusk with him. Gave it on to DeBrusk. Spin one in front. They score! The Bruins win it in overtime. Charlie McAvoy. McAvoy with his first goal of the year. Just after the power play to the Blackhawks had ended and the Bruins have won it and taken over first place in the league.
Highlights courtesy of NBC Sports Network. Jonathan Tay said this about the referees after the game.
What was the explanation you got from the officials on that last whistle that blew Drew's goal dead?
They said it was his mistake.
They owned up to it.
Yep.
All right. So, Jay, so the Blackhawks get 2 out of a possible 4 points over the last couple of nights. If I'm looking at the playoff chase, where do the Blackhawks stand and how good are their chances, in your opinion, to getting one of those wild cards?
They're 2 points out of a wild card spot right now. They've got a lot of games left with the teams they're chasing and the teams that are right behind them. But they've got to come out and play better than they played in these last two games. They've had opportunities to take 2 points and they failed to do it. And these, when you're a team like the Blackhawks, like I said last question, every point matters. And early in the season, they let so many points go that they should have had that it feels like every time they lose one, it can be fatal. They've got to get on a roll here. They've got to start winning games in regulation against division opponents. That's your best bet. But the trade deadline's on the 24th. They've got 3 key players that are unrestricted free agents: Crawford, Leonard, Gustafson. They've got to do something. Do they move those guys or do they keep them in hopes of making the playoffs and then lose all 3 of them for nothing? It's a crucial 3 weeks.
Jay Zawoski, where can people listen to your Blackhawks podcasts, plural?
You can listen to me every day, Monday through Friday, on Locked On Blackhawks. And you can listen to me a couple times a week on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
With James Neveau, our guy. And you can hear Jay on the I'm Fat Podcast with Rick Camp. Jay, thank you very much. We move on to NCAA basketball. Down at Hinkle Fieldhouse, they put a bucket up near the roof because they had a hole in the roof. It was a 13-minute delay, but it was worth it because that game was incredible.
Here's Baldwin. Don't settle deep. 5. Baldwin. Step back for the win.
Money is right. Gus is still great on these. Basketball calls, he's still great on them. Butler beats Villanova 79-76 is the final. Butler, the only team that DePaul has beaten in the Big East because they only have 1 win in the Big East after starting 12-1. On to football. Kansas City had their parade yesterday. There was a guy getting chased by the police through the parade route. They stopped him. There's a guy who was naked that fell out of, well, not, he was half naked, who fell out of a tree. There's a lot of drunk stuff going on. Patrick Mahomes is shotgunning beers that people are throwing to him from the crowd. And then someone gave Travis Kelce a microphone.
That memorial up there, I see everybody up there in that memorial. Don't nobody know we represent and honor every single veteran that went to war for us in World War One.
That's right. Now, there's a World War One Memorial Museum that's within eyesight of where he was. He was doing the Can You Dig It stuff at the beginning of that thing.
Can you dig it?
So, here's my question to you. Do you think that he knows where that comes from? Or does he think the etymology of it is from Shaq, not knowing that Shaq got it from the cult classic The Warriors, which is a little over 40 years old now?
60,000 soldiers.
Now there ain't but 20,000 police in the whole town. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
I made Mel watch that movie a couple weeks ago. I was like, if we're going to be married, you got to see this. And she enjoyed it, I think. I think she enjoyed it. But Herbie, do you think Travis Kelce has seen the Warriors and understands that's where the can you dig it comes from? Or does he think that Shaq originated it?
I think Travis Kelce is not a culture vulture. He understands where things come from and the etymology. I believe he's from Cleveland Heights, which Shaq told me
keeps it real.
Yeah, the culture is represented well there. So he understands what's going down with the African-American, Mexican, Latino culture.
Campy, do you think that Travis Kelce knew where Can You Dig It came from?
No.
This texter says he got it from Booker T. That's also a good place to steal it from.
Can you dig it?
Suckers. All right. I think that he probably got it from Shaq. Although he is a big wrestling guy. So the Booker T thing is pretty good too. That's pretty good too. That's probably where he got it from. Five times. World champion, Booker T. All right. That is your rundown for Thursday, February 6, 2020. There's a lot of stuff that I want to talk about on the show today. And as I promised you, at 12:40, I'm going to share some of the Kyle Long podcast that I did with him for NBC Sports Chicago. It's really good. And I'm looking forward to having a follow-up conversation with Olin Krutz about it at 1. Olin said he'll jump on, and I wanted to ask him some stuff about the Super Bowl and the Bears. But I really want to spend some time talking about what happens for players after they're done. But there is some NBA news. Campy, for the people that are like, wait, there's trade deadline activity? It's not the Bulls. But what happened? Who got traded? Why does it matter?
So Golden State traded D'Angelo Russell to Minnesota for Andrew Wiggins, a 2021 first round pick that is top three protected. Otherwise, they get it no matter what in 2022, and a 2022 second round pick. The Warriors also sent a couple of guys for filler salary, Jacob Evans and Omari Spellman, along to Minnesota. So that's huge because Karl-Anthony Towns has been very unhappy. The new GM or president of basketball operations in Minnesota, Gerson Rosas, is a Daryl Morey disciple. And if you think about who's someone that plays a similar style game to James Harden, D'Angelo Russell's pretty close. So you're helping out Karl-Anthony Towns getting his friend. You're just shaking up the roster for a team that's been god-awful. Karl-Anthony Towns hasn't been part of a win since before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, he now has tied the record for most consecutive losses by a number one pick with Michael Olowokandi, which is something you don't want to ever have your name associated with.
And this is just intriguing as hell for next year for the Warriors, because you have your pick this year, which is going to be really good. You're getting, you would assume, a Minnesota lottery pick next year. Plus you have whatever Andrew Wiggins is, which, you know, if he's just what he's been, it's still an albatross of a contract. If they can fit him into some sort of role and make him almost like what Harrison Barnes was.
Maybe with the space that Steph and Clay provide, there's some room for him to work out. Because it's funny, he's one of those guys where if you kind of look at him sideways, you can go, I see something in there.
Oh, there's flashes all the time. But the thing is, I think giving him a more defined role will be great for him because he's never had one of those. He's always had to be the top dude. But he's one of those guys where you don't know how necessarily basketball smart he is. So if you give him a role, you know what? Just defend the hell out of guys, hit some threes. If we need a secondary creator, you can do that. That's all you got to do. I think that's fair to at least try and maximize whatever's left in there.
All right, so look, this is what we just gave you. We gave you an in-depth look at the how the referees screwed up yesterday in the Hawks game, and a breakdown of the latest NBA trade. Still no word on the Bulls, though. Like, they're still keeping Zach. What we got, like 2 hours left before the trade deadline?
Hour 40
left before the trade deadline. We'll see if the Bulls, do something, we will let you know. But it's unlikely they're going to do something big. We need to take a timeout. When we come back, I want to talk about championship parades for a little bit. And something I saw on Twitter that seems to happen anytime any team wins a championship. I'll do that next here on The Score.
24-0! I ain't trying to hear it! Shout in! I ain't trying to hear it! Fourth quarter, 6 and whatever left on the clock. Down 10. We got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, baby. How about Sammy Watkins? Woo! How about Damian Williams? Woo!
Oh, my God. They were having so much fun yesterday. And Mahomes is right in the middle of it. With his 80 shades on. This is Doc Brown shades that he's rocking. That was at the Chiefs championship ceremony that they had. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. So I'm watching a lot of stuff on Twitter. I'm watching some of the content being put out by the Chiefs. And whether it's politics or sports, crowd size is apparently a thing. You send out a picture of your crowd, and someone immediately tells you that your crowd's not big enough. Our crowd is bigger. Yes, Campy.
Or the Blackhawks say that you have about 2 million more people than are actually there.
Yes, that is you beat me to where I was going.
Sorry.
It's fine. That's why you're on the show. But it's so, like, here's what I don't get about all of it. Why is it so important that we have to, in some cases, embellish the size issue of the crowd? Because my thing is, and we did it too with the White Sox. Like, oh, there's 2 million people there. Yeah. I mean, I rode in the parade. There wasn't. And it's fine. It's fine that there wasn't. It's a South Side thing. And I'm okay. I was okay with I actually thought that their rally was really great. Having it right here on Wacker on the river. Like, that was cool. And it was great seeing people, like, in the buildings as you're coming down LaSalle. The ticker tape aspect of it, I think, was really, really great. So let me ask you two, and if you want to text in with your thoughts on this, 67011, why do we do this? Why is it that if the Chiefs put out on Twitter a picture of the crowd 4 hours before the actual parade started, that immediately Patriots fans, Eagles fans, who else has won the championship? They're like, well, look at what we had in Pittsburgh when we won it. Look at these people in Kansas City don't really care about their team because look at the size of this thing that we've got. Why do we do this?
This is another like scoreboard type thing. We had X number of fans, which is more than your number of fans, which means we're a better fan base.
Oh, so size does matter.
That's what I've heard.
But if the people who love it are in it, does like this is one of the things I get to with the whole no one goes to White Sox games. I don't care. I like it better when no one goes, for the most part. You know why? Because I can just walk around my great ballpark and not be bothered and eat all the great food. Yes, I want people to come see the White Sox if they're White Sox fans, but if you want to jump, whenever it is that you want to jump in, you can jump in. And at the end of it, at the end of all of this, your team wins something. It's a celebratory time. I'm not sure. It's almost as if people just desperately want to take away, steal your joy. What's wrong? Herbie, the question I have for you, sir, what's wrong with people?
I don't have enough time. It's only 12:30. The show's going until 2.
It's the truth.
But yeah, on a celebratory day, people should be happy for Kansas City. Maybe not the chant, but you know, otherwise, that's a very likable team. Would you hear from Travis Kelce, the coach, all the strife that he's been through, personal and professional? Who can't love Patrick Mahomes? You should be happy for that city and for that team.
Yeah, I'm happy for it. This texter says people at the Score are tweeting about the crowd size as well. I'm not in charge of their Twitter accounts. I'm only in charge of mine. Can I just offer this too? We're not a monolith here. So, like, let's say I have a different opinion on Chris Bryant than another host or another show might have. That doesn't mean what you think it means. It's not like, well, the Score said. No, we don't. The only time that we speak in one voice is if Mitch says something. Otherwise, we're allowed to have differing opinions on things.
And if we do disagree, it's not a personal attack on the other person. It's just a difference of opinion.
Yes. It's just a weird thing where it's like, well, you guys said. If I said it, I'm okay to claim it. But if you think a good clapback is, well, such and such said it on the Score. Nah, 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 nah. I'm going to tell you it's a horrible clapback by you.
That happens all the times with callers. Yeah, well, you guys were saying, and I'll say, who said it? And they'll be like, oh, well, Haas said it. Well, then call Mully and Haas.
Correct. And hash it out with him.
Yeah, we're not going to speak for David Haw. You know, that's just, or any of the hosts here.
I may not have even heard it.
Right.
I try to hear as much as possible. Speaking of Chris Bryant. Mm-hmm. Yet another reason why he's phenomenal. This from Amber Dixon, who covers stuff in Las Vegas, you know, where Chris lives. Cubs third baseman Chris Bryant is declining to discuss his takeaways on the grievance process he underwent with the team out of respect for Chicago media, who he says hasn't been able to speak with yet. The Las Vegas native says he'll wait until spring training to do so. How about that? So the people who cover me every day, I don't feel right talking about this grievance process with just, I'm at a little event in Las Vegas. I don't feel right talking about it. But next week, I'm going to see the people who cover the Cubs on a daily basis. And when they talk to me about this, I'm going to have something to say. Man, I just wish he was a better guy. I just wish that Chris Bryant somehow showed a level of professionalism that would make you want him to be around, you know? Oh, well, I guess you can't have everything. You can't always get what you want. I learned that there was a great philosopher who said that. But if you try sometime, you just might find you get what you need. Oh, yeah. We need to take a break. When we come back, I've been talking about it since I got back from the Super Bowl. I had this incredible conversation with Kyle Long. We ended up doing it for the Under Center podcast on NBC Sports Chicago. I want you to listen to the whole thing, but I got a little sneak preview. And if you're a White Sox fan, you definitely want to stick around for that because I talked with him about the idea of going back into the White Sox organization since he's retired and he's only, what, 31 years old. You'll get to hear that next here on The Score. Olin Krutz is going to join me at 1 o'clock. Along with being someone I love to talk football with, you'll have a better appreciation of why I invited Olin onto the show today after we get through the segment that we're in right now. The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Wells Ryan Arena this season. Remaining home opponents include Illinois, Michigan, and Minnesota. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. So, last week I was down at the Super Bowl, and here's how all this came to be. J.J. Stankovic, who covers the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, had babies. His wife did. She's our Colts expert, by the way. We bring her on to talk about the Colts. So, she had twins. He had paternity leave. So the paternity leave came at a time when we were getting ready to head down to the Super Bowl, or at least they were. I wasn't involved in this as of yet. They said, hey, old guy, didn't you used to cover football a long time ago? Yes, I sure did. And the last time the Bears were in the Super Bowl, I went and covered it in Miami, so I'm familiar with how things work. And they were like, sold. You're going to go down to Miami and go cover the Super Bowl and talk to people on the Under Center podcast. And I said, okay, great, because you're one of the places that I work. But I also work at another place. I work at The Score, and I'm on the air from noon to 2 every day. So what happens to my radio show while we're down in Miami doing podcasts? And they said, no problem. And then they called Mitch, and Mitch said, okay, we can send him down there as long as he gets to do the show. We'll make it a joint effort. And I was like, oh, cool. So I was on Radio Row doing the radio show along with talking with people about the Bears, specifically for our Bears podcast that we do at NBC Sports Chicago. It's called the Under Center Podcast. I had a lot of great conversations, and I highly recommend, if you're a Bears crazy person, you should subscribe to that podcast, because it's interviews with all sorts of people throughout the season and beyond. But I got my chance to kind of drive the podcast for a couple of weeks while JJ is on paternity leave. One of the people that I got the chance to sit down with was Kyle Long. And you know Kyle is retired. I know he did some radio with Cap this past week. I think that if he wants to, he can move into broadcasting fairly easily. There are some things, though, that everyone has to work through when they're done playing the game. I really enjoy talking with him, and I implore you to listen to the entire 30 minutes of this conversation. But as a teaser, I wanted you, the Score listener, to know what the hell I was doing down there when I wasn't doing the radio show. And I wanted you to hear this, because I will tell you this. I've done a lot of interviews on the Score, over at Under Center, wherever it is that I've worked. This was one of my favorite interviews that I've ever done. Kyle was open, honest, and raw about leaving the Bears, about what it was like to play in the game, where he fits in his family dynamic with his brother, who I think is going to win a Nobel Peace Prize at some point, and his Hall of Fame dad. So we talked a lot about that stuff, and I want you to go listen to it. But since you're here right now, let me share this with you, this portion of the interview with you. What's it like when you walk away from the game? Do you have a place to be? How do you approach that? Here's what Kyle said about how he's trying to work through it.
The other thing I forgot to say about Olin, and I haven't told anybody this, which just gives me chills. When I got put on IR, there's a few people that reached out to me. A few teammates, a lot of former teammates. Olin hit me up and he said, come train with me. He gave me a destination. And I was in a rough spot, but I had a spot to go in the mornings and work out.
How important was that for you?
I mean, football is my life. Olin gave me an opportunity to wean myself off of it.
To get that competitiveness, the physical.
And be around guys that he knows. You go in there and it's MMA guys and it's Olin. Like, it doesn't get more rad than that group of guys. And for him to open his gym to me, and while briefly and before I, you know, it was before I decided to go on a vacation. I was with Olin for 2-3 weeks, and my God, I don't know what I'd be doing right now if I didn't have a place like that to go to. And, you know, I could, when I get back to Chicago, I'm going to try to roll back in there. But I've been gone for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, so he might not let me back in.
Well, you're going to pay a penalty, because yes. That's how
Olin
rolls.
But it just speaks to the man that he is. And he feels what I was going through.
He does. You know what it reminds me a lot of? It reminds me, like, Olin, he's giving people a destination, as you say, which I think is a really good way to talk about it. It reminds me of someone who is, and this is a bad thing, and like running like a halfway house, and Olin is there to help transition.
Which I've been to as well.
I know.
And it's similar.
That is trying to help you transition in the most positive way possible. That outlet is really important. I've been debating whether I can steel myself to go and train with Olin. Like, I've been thinking about it a lot.
You'd be surprised at the amount. You think you're going to train with Olin, you're just going to be blown out by the end of the day. That is not the case. He is as smart and, like, I don't want to say science-backed, because if I told him he was a scientist, he would probably slap me in the head. He just understands the game. He understands our bodies. And, I mean, he was a pro. So, in terms of his body, he's in tune with that. And he can probably make everybody feel better with the things he... I never went in there and felt like I was just blown out of the frame. I went in there and got great workouts in. It would take 40 minutes. We'd box. We'd do whatever. And I felt amazing walking out of there. Hmm. And that's a priceless feeling when you're in a crappy time.
You can say it's a podcast.
When you're in time in your life, there's nothing better than somebody without being asked reaching down and pulling you out of the mud.
I remember when you first started, and I remember watching training camp practices and going, Kyle's got very bad technique, but he's grown man strong. And I remember seeing you just kind of toss guys, just like, And I was like, oh my God, like, he can do a lot of stuff. Was there a point where you felt like the technique matched the physicality?
Yeah. My third year training camp, I was as dialed in as you would ever be. I mean, I was bulletproof. And they moved me to tackle Wednesday, week one. They cut my best friend, Jordan Mills. This is the NFL. This is the kind of with the NFL.
I talked to Jordan a few weeks ago. I was very happy to talk with him.
Jordan Mills, they put me a tackle to do my best friend's job. But I was just dialed in from a technique standpoint, and I had to start from square one, week one, at tackle. But, who knows? Had I stayed a guard, who knows? But I played tackle. I got Pro Bowls at two positions now. So my technique has always been so bad, like you talked about. And it was one of those things my dad always said, technique, hands, technique. And I didn't really look. I said, look, I'm kicking these dudes' asses, Dad. Like, you must be wrong. And then year five, you're like, my body hurts. And he's like, why? And I'm like, my body hurts. Bad technique.
I can't let you go without you helping me work through this. Because my post-career thing for you is to put you back on the White Sox. So, let's talk about this.
Tommy John surgery, first off.
So you have to have it, or you already had it?
I have to have it. And okay. If I get that, I can throw 100 then.
Well, I mean, it is true that guys are coming back stronger.
Yeah.
You laugh, but guys are coming back stronger.
Yeah.
I was there. I read the draft profile. I talked to the people at White Sox and said that there was a chance, a real chance, that you would be a major league pitcher. Do you ever even think about it?
Every day.
What do you think about?
What it would be like, where I'd be living, would I be with the White Sox still, would I have a World Series, you know, would they let a pitcher partake in the home run derby, just ludicrous like that they would all laugh in my face if I said it in front of them.
Okay, so let's.
But I'm on a softball team in Buffalo Grove. Have been for 2 years, so Bears fans, you're in on that now.
So that's terrifying.
And we have two championship plaques. They sit in the background of my Twitch stream. I don't know if you can read it, but Buffalo Grove Men's League. I was Ricky on my team. Ricky could hit the out of the softball.
Yes, Ricky could. That was part of my conversation with Kyle Long. The rest of it is on the Under Center podcast, and I'll tweet it out during the break so that you can listen to it at your leisure. It was so good. And once we got into the stuff of the family dynamics between the Long brothers and, of course, their dad, it's great. I'm also really happy that Kyle just got comfortable. For me, those are the best types of interviews. When people get comfortable. Now, in a podcast setting, I can let him say 4 and 12-letter words. And just as another tease for you to go listen to the podcast, he does use a 12-letter word when describing his father. You should go listen to it. It was some really special stuff, and I'm glad that he sat down. We have been, you know, we talk a little bit here and there. I was sitting there at Radio Row, and you heard it. Like, I was doing transition with Dan and Connor when Kyle walked by, and he's like, I'll be back. And then he just sat down with me for 30 minutes. So it's 30 minutes of stuff like that. And the fact that he thinks about being on the White Sox every day is crazy. So I tweeted this out today. And then, of course, Chuck Garfine, who covers the White Sox for NBC Sports Chicago, tweeted it out. And he got a response about Kyle, the White Sox player, from Nick Hostetler, who tweeted this at both of us. Some of the most raw power I've ever seen with the bat as well. He hit a ball at the University of Cincinnati that hit the basketball arena that may have left a dent in it. Was in the same showcase as Gerrit Cole and others. That's how good of a player that Kyle Long was on the baseball side. So I can only imagine what Ricky is like as a softball player. The other part of this that I thought stood out was what Kyle said about Olin. And Olin kind of running his gym as a way to give people an outlet for aggression. Think about it. For guys that have been playing football since they were five, and the big uglies mostly, they have those moments every day where they can let anger and aggression out. Another thing that Kyle talks about in the podcast is being diagnosed with ADD and ADHD and what sports did and what video games did for him in that regard. But being able to get all of that stuff out physically while playing football, and then all of a sudden football is taken away. You're done playing it. Well, what do you do with that? It's where guys sometimes end up getting in trouble. They don't know how to harness it. So shout out to Olin. Because one, you're not going to hurt Olin because he's Olin. And two, what struck me is that when I covered the Bears, Olin was the captain amongst captains. Like, you may have had five captains on the team, but we all knew who the captain of the team was. Him showing this level of understanding and growth in post-playing days is really remarkable. And he's still leading. He's still figuring out a way to lead. So I wanted to talk to him about that. When Kyle spent 4 minutes of that talking about what Olin had done for him, saying, I'm in the bleep, and he reached down to lift me out of the bleep. You got to dig a little bit deeper into what that means for a guy like Kyle and what that means for Olin. So guess what? We're going to talk with Olin Krutz about that next here on The Score. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.